Happy Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. So for us here in the Catholic Church, we're celebrating Trinity Sunday. And this is one of the great mysteries of the faith. But all around the United States, there's another celebration taking place, which is the celebration of Father's Day. And I think it's beautiful that these two things are overlapping, these two celebrations. Because we can take the Trinity and we can think about fathers and we can see how the two relate to each other. Or at least that's what I'm going to try to do in my homily. So when we think about fathers, when we think about God the Father, they both have the name Father. And there's this special relationship between the two where the human father is kind of God's natural built-in representative in the family. And then we can think about Jesus Christ. And how, in his humanity, he was a great example for all men and for all people. But fathers can learn from Jesus Christ on how to receive from God the Father, as well as how to relate to other human beings. And then we have God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us at baptism and at confirmation, and we get to receive that gift and allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, live out our vocations. And so for fathers, by receiving the Holy Spirit, they can live out better their fatherhood. But the Trinity, being the great mystery that it is, deserves even further depths and examination and consideration. And so when we think about the Trinity, we can look to our creed. And what do we say in our creed? The very first thing we say in our creed is that we believe in one God. And then we mention the Father. Well, okay, so far so good, right? One God, one person, the Father. But then we start talking about God the Son, Jesus Christ. We say God from God, light from light. We're saying he's equal to God the Father. So now we have two persons, Father and Son. Then near the end of the creed, we mention the Holy Spirit, and we say that we adore and glorify him, just like we do with the Father and the Son. So he's God too, which means we have three persons now. But just like we said at the beginning, there's only one God. So one God, three persons, that's what we declare at every time, every Mass when we have the creed. We are professing our faith in the Trinity. Now, these three persons are distinct. They are different. And we can see that in our gospel passage today. Jesus Christ, who became man, he's human, he's speaking to his disciples and speaking to us through the gospel. He talks about the Holy Spirit and how he's going to send us the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But then he also mentions God the Father and how everything that the Father has was given to him. So as Jesus is talking, he's revealing that these two other persons, the Father and the Holy Spirit, are distinct and different and separate from himself. And yet, all three are God. And so, we can consider, what is it that makes these three persons unique? Like, if they're all God, and all of them then are infinite and eternal and glorious, what makes them unique? Well, if we consider God the Father, it is only God the Father who gives life to God the Son. And the Father also gives life to the Holy Spirit. So what's characteristic of the Father is that he is always giving. He's giving life to the other two persons in the Trinity. But he doesn't receive life from them. Then we can consider God the Son. He receives life from God the Father, but then he gives life to the Holy Spirit. And so we see what's unique about God the Son is that he both receives and gives. And then when we consider the Holy Spirit, he receives life from both the Father and the Son, receiving from both, but not giving life to either one, though he does, in union with the Father and the Son, give life to all of us. And so we see unique attributes, distinctions amongst the persons. The Holy Spirit is also considered the love of God, the Father and the Son, the love between the two of them. And so that's another distinction of the Holy Spirit. But beyond the relationship amongst each person within the Trinity of this giving and receiving, they're all identical. All of them are God. But not three gods, one God, but three persons. Now, maybe that's still confusing to you. Maybe you still struggle with it. Maybe you don't understand it fully. That's okay, because this is one of the mysteries of our faith. And so it's good for us to accept and believe and then spend time meditating on it, thinking about it. And then over time, we'll be able to understand it more, little by little. But okay, now that we've considered in a little bit more depth what we mean by the Trinity, how does that relate to fatherhood? Well, fathers are called to be like God the Father. And they are to be this source of life for their whole family. Just as the Father gives life to Son and Holy Spirit, fathers and families are to give life to all the members of their family, to help bring about that life. Not necessarily needing to receive, although greatly appreciating, any kind of life and love that he receives from his own family. But they're also human. Human fathers being human. Who would have thought, right? They're also human. And Jesus Christ, when he became man, he relied on God the Father. He needed to be filled with the grace that the Father gives. And so all human fathers are to follow Jesus' example and receive life from God the Father, to be filled by the Holy Father, by God the Father, and then to share that with others, just as Jesus did. Then we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being the love between the Father and the Son, being given to the fathers. Fathers must learn from the Holy Spirit to receive him, to receive this love, to learn to listen to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit so that they can carry out their vocations well, so that they can do the will of God. And so fathers can learn from the Trinity, can follow the example of the Trinity. But going back to God the Father, all fathers are called to be like God the Father, in that when considering how they want God to treat them, that's how they should be treating those entrusted to their care, with the gentleness, with the kindness, with the mercy, with the forgiveness that they themselves desire from God. But also, God the Father, being the head of all of the Trinity, fathers, human fathers, are called to be the spiritual head of their family and be leaders in the life of prayer. This leadership is not to take away from the great beauty that God has given women and mothers who have their own genius that St. John Paul II writes about beautifully. But being Father's Day, I'm going to focus on fathers. The role of the father in the spiritual life of the children is very important. In fact, in a study in Switzerland in 1994, they examined how that correlates to attendance at church. And when they looked at the scenario where mom is always going, but dad is not, they looked to see what happens with the children after they're grown up, they're adults, and they're on their own. What do the children do? What did they learn from their parents? And in the case where mom goes, dad doesn't, only 2% of the children go on a regular basis. 37% go irregularly or sometimes, and 60% don't go at all. Okay, now let's look at the reverse. What happens when dad is always going and mom's not going at all? What do those percentages look like then? Well, when dad's going and he's setting an example for his children, then when they become adults, 44% attend Mass regularly. And then 30% will sometimes come. They would come irregularly. And only 25% would stop coming altogether when they become adults. And so we see that the father has some sort of special influence, some sort of example in the spiritual formation of the children that goes beyond what the mother does. I mean, we're talking about 2% versus 44%. The father makes a huge difference in the spiritual life of the children. And so the father needs to make sure that he takes that role, that leadership role that God calls him to have. So my challenge is for the fathers. I challenge all fathers to be the spiritual leaders of their household, to be the ones who lead the family prayers, the prayers before meals, the prayers after meals, the prayers in the evening when the whole family gathers together. I challenge all fathers to take that leadership role, to be that example for their children. to be that example, revealing the importance of the life of faith and how it's necessary for reaching that ultimate goal of heaven. Then I'd like to further challenge the fathers to be the ones who take charge and try to gather the whole family together to come to Mass. And then while being at Mass, for the fathers to set a great example of paying attention and participating in the Mass, being part of these responses. Sometimes there's a temptation for fathers to kind of like daydream and not pay attention, thinking about sports or what they're going to grill in the barbecue. Or sometimes they might be playing on their phones. Fathers need to be excellent examples for their children at Mass so that the children learn the importance of the Mass, so that they are able to better receive the grace of God when they come to Mass by the witness of their fathers. And then fathers also need to be good teachers of the faith. Sometimes there's a temptation for fathers to kind of just let go of that responsibility, to just assume that, well, I'm sending them to Catholic school or to PSR. Well, mom's talking to them. That's good enough. No, actually, it's not good enough. The data shows that fathers need to take a leadership role. They need to be the ones who are in that position of leadership, guiding their family, teaching their family the faith. And that may sound daunting. All of this may sound daunting and hard for fathers, but really, it's not as bad as it sounds, and it's very rewarding. And this is coming from a spiritual father. All you have to do is really, when it comes to teaching the faith, just be one step ahead. Kind of like how I only learned those statistics yesterday. All I had to do was be one step ahead. And so it's important for fathers to take this leadership role seriously. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have other people participating or helping out in the prayers. Just like how at Mass we have the priest, the spiritual father, leading the prayers in the Mass, presiding over the Mass. But he's not the only one doing things. We also have other participants. We have lectors. We have servers. We have extraordinary ministers. Other people are participating. Everybody in the pews are called to participate in the prayers at Mass. Likewise, at home, Dad doesn't have to do everything for the prayers. But it's important for him to take that leadership role, to be that example. And so God knows that society is not really helping fathers to fulfill their vocation in their fatherhood. But the Lord wants to provide all fathers with the graces they need to live out this vocation. And so at the end of Mass, we'll have a special blessing for fathers to help strengthen you in this mission of fatherhood. And then there's also many great opportunities here at Ascension Parish for men to gather together to grow in their faith. We have many opportunities for men's group and Bible study and things like that to help you to grow in that ability to be that spiritual father for the family. And for all of us, we can take this next moment of silence in prayer to pray for fathers as we prepare ourselves to be united to God the Father by the help and the grace of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.